Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 5th, 2023. Season 17, episode 26 here. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And together we are. we don't have a tag team name. But anyway, we're here. Together, we are here at the station doing the show.
You know, about to get some colorful suggestions in chat right now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Little box of Pandora's I'd rather not open. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us online, ingamechat.net. Also find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Outside of people who... maybe we're born last year or 2 years ago. You know how memory develops. That's going to be Twitter for so many people for so very long. Mm-hmm. It'll never be X to them. It'll always be Twitter. And then you got kids who will have grown up with it being X and be like, why don't you call it Twitter? It's X. You know? I guess. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Do you have any reasoning behind that name change?
Look at me. Pay attention to me. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Hey, it's company now. Do whatever you want with it.
Exactly. Other than, like, you know what? Talk about me in the news again. You've stopped for a minute, and I would like... Because I don't get. Changing the... Or adding a price structure or whatever else, but a legacy name like Twitter, changing it to X out of... I don't know if it's not ego. What am I trying to think of? I'm not sure. But it doesn't seem like there's anything. Man, words are failing me today for some reason. But it doesn't seem like there's any significant reason to change it. You know what I'm saying? Like thought processes of what you're going to do. I have no idea what the thought process was to call it Twitter in the first place.
All I got is because he felt like it. That's all I got.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And to make it so, it's kind of like when IHOP changed their name to IHOB or whatever it was, International House of Burgers. Like, they did it as a promotional stunt.
Yeah.
You know? It got people talking about them. It probably got more advertising, free advertising for them than anything else because we were like, oh, they're changing their name. Got people talking about it.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. They're changing it to X, got people to talk about it, not that Twitter needs to be talked about. Mm-hmm. But I think for Musk, he needs to be talked about, and that's exactly why, I guess. I don't know. I can't. He owns it. He can do what he wants with it, right?
Exactly.
Which is exactly what he's doing. And that's fine. But I don't get the reasoning behind calling it X. Mm. Like, how much of it did you think through? You know, is it going to be, is it X.com now? I mean, or is it still Twitter.com? It's still Twitter.com, you know? So, I don't know. Anyway, before I forget. So, yeah. Let me look here. Did you hear, see the huge bright lit X logo you put in? Yep. And then he, the next day he had to take it down. San Francisco, whatever, the city said, no, take it down. Mainly because the neighbors next door were, it's like that episode of Seinfeld where the Kramer's next to a Kenny Rogers Roasters in the red was just right in the same thing. But it was so bright. Which, again, feels like a... seriously, look at me in bright, shining lights. You know? Like, me. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. I'm doing something over here. I don't know what, but...
The only thing I knew about the change is that I was looking at my smartphone one day, and the app logo changed. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, that's the only way they knew. And even then, they didn't care. They opened it. They say, what is this? It says Twitter, but this says X. They opened it up. Oh, it's Twitter, but it says X now. Eh.
Okay.
Well, exactly. Move on. boy. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody.
Oh, Bama Brown says he loved that episode with the Kenny Rogers thing.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's the same. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. We're not going to dwell on that because, again, we're here. There's a guy literally in lights starving for attention, and we're giving it to him. So, Lethal Migraine says rich people are the worst, aren't they? And let me point out, the obscenely rich people are the worst, okay? I don't know what people consider different forms of wealth as being rich. The obscenely wealthy usually are the worst, or can be. Or that's the only ones we ever hear about, put it that way.
So. That's true.
Ah, God, what have we played? RJ, we'll start with you. Well, yeah, what have you played? We'll get to Evo in a minute. What have you played?
Okay. Let's see. I did play more of Elden Ring, try to get my finish my fourth playthrough with my stealth character, Dex build, basically. And it's really new to me because I'm trying
what?
To do
what did you say, Dex build? What?
Dexterity build.
Oh, a deck. Okay, gotcha.
Got intelligence build, strength build, dexterity build.
You're throwing out Dex build. I'm like, cards are involved? No.
No. Dexterity build. Dexterity and arcane, actually, because that helps me with my bleed status. Because
dexterity and what was the other one? Arcane?
Arcane.
Oh, okay.
Arcane helps me with weapons that cause bleeding.
All right.
Which is one of the best ways to decrease
which is
health.
Like what? Slowly pulls away their health a little bit at a time.
No, well, sudden, actually. It builds up a status on your opponent called bleeding. And when it fills up, you'll lose about a good 40% of your health line in one shot. So you want to keep that thing built up as much as you can. Problem is, the weapons that usually do it are so weak that you have to do a lot of hits in order to build it up. But the benefit is that those weak weapons are usually the fastest weapons in the game. In my case, it's a hook claws. Short range, but you can get like 3 or 4 shots in back to back to back to back in no time. So it'll help you. So if you put bleed on it, it'll help you build that stat up even faster. So I'm not going on power of the attack. I'm going trying to build that bleed status up as quick as possible. There's a lot of enemies in the game that you can inflict that status on. Some you can't. And so when I face enemies that I can't put bleed status on, like a rock golem, for example, those don't bleed, so I have to have something else in my arsenal that I can hit hard with instead of a set of hook claws.
That's interesting that they pay enough attention to detail to know that, look, this thing is just rock. It's not going to bleed. So that's nice that they do that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been trying to do, get the stealth build built up and things like that. So I have to rechange my strategy because I'm so used to using shields all the time. That I'm having to rely on dodging and rolling instead of blocking, which is what I've always been used to since I've started playing the Soulsborne series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always used to having a shield. It's not like the first time we've gone through that. It's like Bloodborne, for example. The shields in there are pointless. There's really no point in having a shield.
Just roll all the time, right?
Just roll and dodge all the time. In fact, they do give you a shield, but that shield is made of plywood, and that thing gets hit one time, and it's worthless. It's no good.
Now, do the same rules apply in there where if you have a two-handed weapon, then you lose the shield or you don't have the shield?
A two-handed weapon, you're going to have two hands. You're going to be on the
weapon. Or can you dual wield?
You can two-hand the shield. You can do that. But... not really a lot of offense other than pushing.
No. I'm not saying that. I meant dual wield a sword in one hand, sword in the other.
Yeah, if you dual wield one thing, whatever you had.
Or sword in one hand, axe in the other.
Yeah, whatever you dual wield, what you had in your offhand is going on your back automatically.
Yeah, that's. But my point being is that you said the shield's worthless. Okay, well then why not put another weapon in that hand instead of using the shield?
I've got a weapon. I've got two weapons in each hand. I've got a twin blade in my right hand and the hook claws in my left hand. That's what I'm using, but I have no shield. So that's what I'm going on. Rolling and dodging.
Oh, I meant in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
You can also, you don't always have, you can get rid of the shield and just use two. Okay, I didn't know that.
Dark Souls, Elden Ring, yeah, you can do the same thing. Dual wield.
I knew in Elden Ring you could. Yeah. I knew that was a thing because I'd seen videos on that, but I wasn't sure about Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's always been a thing.
I knew Dark Souls was either one-handed weapon and a shield, or it is a single weapon but uses both hands to, you know, swing and whatever
That's something that depends on the strength of the weapon. If you two-hand a weapon, you can cut the strength requirement in half.
Right.
Like if something takes...
It has a quicker strike, I guess.
Well, being able to use it. It's not exactly a quicker strike. It's more...
Just being able to use it all together.
Being able to use it. That's one thing like that. So yeah, like giant hammers usually take 50 to 60 levels of strength. But if you're like at 30, if you two-hand the thing, you can actually use the thing. But if you try to one-hand it, it's not going to work very well. So that's another aspect of dual wielding. So basically it's just working with less defense than I'm used to. But it's not, like I said, it's not something new because I've had to do that in Bloodborne. I just had to get my timing right with the gun. Because the gun's not really for, in Bloodborne, the gun's not really used for offense. It's just for defense, really.
Mm-mm.
So yeah. So other than that, I played a little bit of Virtua Fighter 5. Haven't gotten into that much. I'm still trying to build up the total... total amount of bouts under my belt. I get about, got about 10 in. Didn't have a winning record. I think I won like 4 out of 10. So I'm still having to learn matchups in that game as well, even though I've played it for so long. But it's, like I said, it's a number of matches, really. It's that consistency of learning matches over and over and over again that it'll stick, getting to have a second memory in your head going through that. So I haven't got there yet, but still fun to learn as I go. Basically, with that. I'm trying to think of anything else I've played other than that. Let's see, I did some updates. I had a bunch of... It was a bunch of updates, really, that I had to deal with. 2 days of updating on Genshin Impact. It took 2 days to get that thing done. Like almost 80 gigs of updates I had to do on that thing. So that was something that took up a lot of time on my PlayStation. But other than that, not really. That's pretty much what I've been doing this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. This morning I finally finished Jedi Fallen Order.
Okay.
So cool. I wrapped that up. The map system got better in the sense that I got enough upgrades or improvements to my character to where multipathing became open to me rather than straight line. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was straight line early on because I didn't have abilities that could help that I could use to get across large gaps or to grab ropes or swing or wall run or all these other things.
Do you have abilities to grab a rope?
You can get force pull. So like if a rope is out of reach, but if you're able to use the force to pull the rope to you, you can. Yeah. That's exactly. So, and then you earn a double jump later on. Again, helps you to clear large vaults and stuff like that. So point being is that early on, it's very confusing because you're on a planet that when you look at the map system, it's massive. Like when you zoom out and look at these things, they're huge, just full of things. And it's all this stuff that you have explored as you're going about. And you're like, well, how do I get from here to here to, you know, all these things? And there's doors that are red. You can't go through there. You can't go through there because you don't have the abilities yet. So early on, that is very confusing as to how do I get back to where I was or how do I get from here to there. Making your way into the map is one thing. Like making your way into a new planet is one thing because you are just going. And when you find a path that branches, you go and check that out or you go one direction, another, whatever the case may be. You sort of reveal the map yourself. The problem is, once you get to your objective on that map, if it's big enough, you've got to then make your way back to the ship. This is a massive complaint I have about this game, is that they send us out to do something, and then once we're there, we have to make our way back.
You have to go back to the
ship. You
can't explore forward. Keep going.
I mean, well, no. You can explore more of the map if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But if you want to continue the story, you've got to get back to the ship.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you've got to then, you go back to the ship and you go to a different planet. You do this. You get upgrades. Then you may come back to this planet. There's a lot of back and forth.
Okay.
Because, again, you've acquired skills that now you can reach places you couldn't before
on the planet.
But my main complaint with the map stuff was early on. Once you get up to level, I wasn't as concerned with maps. But, of course, once I got up to level, by that point in the game, when I get put on a planet I've already been, I'm not looking to explore. I'm looking like, where do I need to be?
Yeah.
And then I look at this map and I'm like, okay, if I take this route, I'll eventually end up to a straight shot to my objective.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I do. Not going to explore, not going to get lost further into what I was doing. So, yeah, I finished that up. That was a quick ending. By that, I mean there was no epilogue. It was beat the bad guy, get the thing, get on your ship, save the day.
Credits.
I'm serious. Yes.
So this is just a side story then. Nothing to do with the main story of Star Wars either. Anyway, is it?
I mean, you know, there's mentions of, I think Yoda gets a mention in there and Vader gets a mention in there. Actually, Vader doesn't get a mention by name, only by appearance.
Okay, they're mentioned, but they're not in the game at all. So
Vader is, yes.
Vader is, okay.
Yeah. Spoiler, by the way.
Okay.
Then again, this game's been out for a long time and the sequel is out now. Yeah, Vader makes an appearance. You don't fight him directly. I mean, yeah, you really don't fight him directly.
So it's a cameo.
Kind of. I mean, he plays an important role.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can try and fight him. He doesn't really do anything to you. Like, it puts you in a position where you're like, oh, God, I have to fight Vader. This is amazing. And when you start to, it kind of doesn't put you into a quick time event. I think there may be one where you have to like smash B in order to break the hold or whatever the thing may be. After that, it's a running sequence where it's like, oh God, get out of here before, you know, as he chases you and all these other things. So you don't really fight him directly. Maybe in the sequel, I think you do. No, there wasn't. You know, the credits rolled and I tried to press a button or two to see if there was a way to, you know, move on past those credits, speed them up, something like that. I pressed some buttons and the screen went black and went back to the main menu and said, you've unlocked New Game Plus and blah, blah, blah. No epilogue, no after credit scene, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just boom, it was over with. I was surprised at how quick it was done. There was no go back to a different planet and meet up with all these other people. Oh, there was another, Forrest Whitaker's character. Is that Saw Gerrera, I think?
I don't know.
from Rogue One.
Didn't see Rogue One.
Okay. Great. It was a good movie. As where Star Wars is concerned, Rogue One's really good. Anyway, he was in that as well. So he makes an appearance. And yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting how it just ended very, very fast.
Now, you're absolutely sure there was nothing after the credits.
I mean, when I skipped the credits.
Did you skip a possible ending in there?
Maybe. I don't know. That's why I'm kind of telling you, here's what I did and here's what happened. If there was something I obviously missed it.
Maybe if someone in chat knew, knows if there's a.
Then again, Bam and Brian, I don't think Bam and Brian's asking for, I don't think he's saying that's a question. He may be saying there's no after credit scenes or nothing. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he's a Star Wars guy enough that he probably played that game and realizes that there's nothing afterwards. So, I mean, you know, now I've opened the door for the sequel or to play the sequel eventually when I get around to it.
Yeah.
I fired up Max Payne 3 because I was curious. I did that this morning. After I finished Jedi, I immediately uninstalled it, by the way, because I have no desire to go back through that.
No replay value.
No, not for me. For a Star Wars fan, I think it'd be fantastic. If you're really into the Star Wars stuff, then sure, going through a New Game Plus and finding out all the secrets and collectibles and getting the different lightsaber parts and things like that, you'd probably be just fascinated all the time.
Yeah.
Bama Bryan did play it, but he got stuck. But yeah, that would probably be great. It's not for me. I went ahead and uninstalled it, installed Max Payne 3, launched it, then realized that I have to go through the Rockstar Social Club or whatever the thing is. Like, Rockstar has a launcher now. So even though I bought this on Steam, and even though Steam can launch the game, it doesn't. It launches the Rockstar launcher. When the Rockstar launcher is launched, then I can launch Max Payne 3 and play that. It's really kind of annoying. I fired that up and saw where there is no save from any previous game, so I have no idea where I must have had to have been on a console.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it is nowhere in Steam or Rockstar, whatever the case may be. It's not there. And it's really bugging me. It's like, where did I play this game?
Must have been console. Because unless you forgot that you played it before and deleted it off your system before, uninstalled or something.
It'll be interesting to go back through this game here whenever I get around to it, probably tomorrow, because I'll be like, okay, I remember this. I'm curious as to how far I get before my memory's like, okay, I've never been here.
Okay, so you remember the hotel at the beginning.
I remember a nightclub fight because I know I played it twice.
I think it starts at the hotel.
I remember the flashback to New York.
Okay. That's what you remember, the flashback to the New York.
Yes.
When he dealt with the mobster's kids.
I'm almost positive. I don't know details. I just remember that the flashback to New York.
Okay, and where he met...
when it was in the snow.
Passos. He met Passos.
I'm not going to remember names.
Okay, his partner from Brazil. Dealt with them in the bar. Firefight in the alley. Then it went to the graveyard where they started fighting there, and I want to say the mob Dom was in the graveyard where Max Payne had to. I think the final showdown was in the graveyard
for the flashback
in New York.
Maybe I remember the flashback, and then I remember I want to say one of the last things I remember. But my problem is that in my memory, I don't know where this shows up in the game. If this is more further into the game, in between the beginning and the flashback, I don't know where it's at, but there is a lobby of a security company or a hotel or a art gallery or something where a dude with a massive machine gun and armor is, or maybe it's a helicopter that's outside, but there's like a lot of glass, but there's a lot of cover. And so you're going around trying to cover.
What was Max wearing?
I don't remember.
A suit or a Magnum PI shirt?
I feel like a suit, but I could be wrong.
If it was a tan suit, then he was in the office building where they were trying to see someone on the upper floor. And I want to say it was either the UFE or some private militia. But yeah, you're pinned down in the lobby of an office building with a bunch of windows, and you've got a bunch of cubicles as cover, so the cover doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't. I remember that as well. He could blow through that stuff.
Yeah, so we won't be able to hide in a spot for long. So yeah, they were trying to meet somebody in this building, and things went south. Well, everything goes south. This game, everything goes south in every chapter.
If it didn't, you wouldn't have a game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do remember that part. Then you get Max reaches another breaking point, and he goes to extreme lengths.
This is why playing through this again is going to be interesting for me, because all of these pieces that are in my head will start to fall back into place as to, okay, it's this, followed by this, followed by this. And I'm really, really curious, did I ever finish this game? I don't remember. Obviously, pre-heart attack on this, so I don't know if that has something to do with it. This is an old game, so I have no idea.
Yeah, but like I said, in the very beginning of the game, you do see the
pre-COVID on this too. So I don't know where
You see the end. You near the end at the beginning. You see it during the intro of the game.
Well, don't spoil it. I don't remember any of
it. Well, you'll see it when you play it again. You'll see it.
I know.
You'll see it. So you might. It might stir something up in your memory.
I do remember that because no, I don't know. I didn't finish the.
Okay, you just have to start playing.
I got
to
play it.
Yeah, you got to play it.
I got to play it.
My describing it will do nothing.
But, no, it won't, because I have no...
Yeah, because I'll really reveal spoilers, because I...
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, so
I have no detailed memory of the game, put it that way.
Okay.
I have memories of set pieces, but not details of those set pieces. Like I said, nightclub, flashback, lobby. That's it. I know of the Brazilian, like, shanty towns and stuff like that. I remember the fights were there, only for the fact that that used to be, that was most of the key art that was shown off at the time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the trailers showed a lot of that as well, especially the multiplayer stuff would show a lot of that. So I know that that exists. I can't remember if that is something I've played or something I've seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Rooftops. I remember rooftops and
I remember these things, but I don't remember, like I said, the details are hazy.
Fuzzy.
So anyway, Jedi Fallen Order, finished that. Old, I know. Did I try and play? I played more Destiny. I finished Destiny's practically done. I'm done with Destiny. I finished up my Grandmaster. I did my Solstice stuff. That's all done. Everything's finished. This week, yesterday, in fact, I logged into my Hunter, did a bunch of weekly bounty things and saved those. This morning, I logged into my Warlock, did the same amount, saved those.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, I'll log in, do my Titan that way, do that, and save those. I'm prepping for next season, but I'm not prepping for anything specific next season. I have the time. I'm just going to go in there, do some bounties, and then when next season launches, I can, you know, get a jump on things. There is a raid coming back next season, but they're not. We found out that they're not increasing my level cap, so I'm not going to be chasing another number.
So what's the point?
Yeah. Right, so I'll be ready to run that raid whenever it launches.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's I'm, again, not prepping for anything, but I have the ability to do it, and so that's what I'm doing. So anyway, did that, and I don't think that there's anything else. Could be wrong. I feel like I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
It'll come to you later.
I probably played a little bit more of Red Dead. Nah. There's a couple of games that I'm interested in playing. We have music for one of those coming up later on in the show. I think it's Venba, I think is the name of it. It's I don't know what it's going to be. I'm not exactly sure what it consists of.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of praise for it, and it is on Game Pass, so I'm going to play it there. We do have a call here, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will take this call right after this break. Here we got music from a game called Dead Link. Dead Link. The name of the track is Collective Brutality. Be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Chats. This is music from that game I mentioned. Venba. It is on Xbox Game Pass. I believe it's on PC. So yeah, I may download that tonight. Give it a just try it out. See what it's like. Kind of like I did with Road 96 not too long ago, which I saw where that was on sale the other day for PC, I think, or may have been PlayStation. It may have been PlayStation.
Oh.
I can't remember.
Cooking game.
It is, but I don't know. There's maybe some more to it than that.
Maybe. Let's see.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know.
Idlis Dosas and Biryanis. Vimba is a narrative cooking game where you play as an Indian mom who immigrates to Canada with her family in the 80s. Players will cook various dishes and restore lost recipes, hold branching conversation, and explore in the story about family, love, loss, and more. So,
yeah.
Loss. Oh, that sticks out. Loss.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, a very narrative puzzler, maybe. I'm not sure, but I was curious, and I want to play.
Yeah. Lost recipes, especially.
I'd heard
that sticks to me because there are some. I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to this. Someone has a member of their family who cooks something.
Yeah,
yeah. That you never got anywhere else, and then they pass on. And by the time you realize that you never you're never going to get that.
Never going to have that again. Yeah, yeah.
You don't know how to make it, and no one in the family knows how. Yeah, lost recipes is a thing I've seen before, and it's disappointing. Yeah. At least
I'm curious about it, so yeah. I'll play that. We'll talk about it afterwards, you know, next week or whatever. So let's go to the phones, talk to Chris. Hey Chris, what's up?
What's going on?
Not much. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Well, good. I finally beat Road 96 not too long ago, I think middle of the week or so.
You played through all of that stuff?
Yeah, I got one of the three endings. I got the one I was looking forward the most to, you know, which I would have liked the best. And I want to probably just look up the other two and just then move on to the prequel to see what the storyline behind it is.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
But I've got all the storylines of all the characters 100% completed, so I've seen every scene with those, so I know how all that unfolds with all, every single character. So I've already got that under the book. So
man, look at you go! Congrats.
So, how long was each playthrough? Time wise,
you got a clock on it.
It was quite a bit. I'd probably. Good 2 or 3 hours per playthrough of each character, you know. But yeah, it's quite a bit. It really takes some time, and it really felt enjoyable, and you got your money's worth and time wise to go through and learn the basics of the game and how things work.
Yeah, yeah. See, if it's interesting, if it holds your interest, you're not going to notice those 2 to 3 hours. I'll put it along the lines of a movie. If a movie's good and it holds you. Long enough, you won't notice the run length of it.
Yeah.
So gaming is the same way.
It kind of flew by there when I was playing it. I didn't keep going because I was like, okay, I've been here for quite a while playing this, and you know it does feel like it just keeps going because it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, I'll come back to it. I did like 3 runs with 3 different people, and I know there's more to do, but I was like, all right. I'll come back to this. And I haven't. I've kind of neglected it, just like I've neglected, what was the other game? Red Dead. I haven't played any of Red Dead in a while. I think I logged in once this past week for maybe a little bit. Maybe. Maybe not, actually.
Yeah. I got to get back to my career on MLB, the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, I think it's been about a week since I've logged in on that, started playing again.
It's been fun going back into the, like I said, it's been fun going back into the backlog there, doing the Jedi Fallen Order, and looking at doing Max Payne 3, looking at doing Control as well. And what I noticed, I found that Jedi Fallen Order was on my EA account thing, my EA app, whatever, the thing on your PC that launches your EA games. I didn't have it on Steam or anything, but also installed and forgot that it was Titanfall 2. Which I didn't finish that either.
Yep.
And I've heard really good things about that for the single player. So
yeah, part of our thing is that, man, we've got, me and you both, we've got so many games in our backlog. We got a bunch of unfinished business.
Oh, no, lots.
Going through that, man.
Lots.
It should be in the triple digits by now.
And while I've heard Titanfall 2 has a very short sequel campaign, single player campaign,
right.
That it's a very good single-player campaign. So,
okay.
You know, again, it's backlogs, and I'm looking to play some of that stuff there. So, and then eventually get to stuff that Chris has already played, like Final Fantasy, Diablo. And you're not playing it on PC. I was going to say Baldur's Gate 3, but I think that's just on PC, I believe.
Oh, speaking of that, have you seen the little encounter with the feisty squirrel?
In
Baldur's Gate 3.
No, I haven't seen anything with Baldur's Gate 3.
Is this a recurring character in the game?
No, it's a random encounter. You come with a crazy squirrel that tries to bite you on the foot, and you can try to negotiate with it if you have an ability to talk to it or take violence against it. And it's real quick, like a 45 seconds to a minute, you know, real quick little clip. You know, you can just search for squirrel and with the game, and you'll find it real quick. But it's funny. One of the other characters, is, I'm assuming, is a vampire, and he complains that there's a mess all over the place, and that was going to be a tasty snack.
I'm looking at the thing. I think it's kick the squirrel versus become friends with
it. Yep, that's it.
So, it'd be interesting to have some long-term consequence of your choice. Maybe something like it did in Resident Evil 4, like you can save the wolf or put it out of its misery.
I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 is massive. Who knows? Perhaps it does. I have no idea. But it is massive in the amount of people talking about it, how much talk it has been getting, how much praise it has been getting. It is massive in how many people I see playing it. I say it's the game of the week, you know, but I think it's going to be another game of a couple of weeks, honestly, up until probably Starfield hits to take the thunder away. You know, Diablo released. And then after that, it was something else that hit. Final Fantasy 16 hit, you know? And then after that, something else hit that people were looking forward to as well that I thought.
It was going to be the hot one for the time period for a while, huh?
Right. Like, it was there for a while. And I can't remember what it is. I don't know why. It's not a game I've been playing, but I can't remember what it was. And now there's Baldur's Gate 3. This has been an incredible year gaming wise, just incredible. With and we're not even done. We've got Street Fighter VI, Diablo IV, new Zelda, new Final Fantasy, new mainline Final Fantasy, new mainline Zelda. Those are having those two drop in the same year is a pretty big deal. Then. I say mainline, but I mean this in the sense that it's not like an expansion to Fallout 76 or Elder Scrolls or whatever. It is a brand new Bethesda game with Starfield. And we're not even done. We got a brand new Assassin's Creed later this year. We got City Skylines 2, which may not be on your radar, but it's on mine along with everything else that we just mentioned. Yeah. Starfield's on my radar, which we found out. Starfield will share your save across console, PC.
Okay.
It is a Xbox Anywhere or Play, whatever it's called. They have a certain category for games. Starfield's one of them, where it is a Play Anywhere title. This means that if you bought it on Xbox, you have it on PC or something like that. I can't remember. But I know that it transfers, especially if you have games for Windows, not necessarily Steam. There's differences there. So
you can play it anywhere. If you buy it, you can play it on any system anywhere, and the cross saves and everything carry over completely, no matter where you play it.
Correct. But in other words, I can't. If I buy the game on Steam, I've still got to buy the game on Microsoft Xbox.
Yeah.
If I buy it on Xbox. On the console, or if I buy it on the Microsoft Game Store on my PC, then I have it on console and PC. But
both,
Steam is considered a completely different thing.
Yeah, completely different entity.
But you have to go through the Xbox.
I have to go through Microsoft in order to have it on my console and my PC, which, again, I'm likely willing to do for that game specifically.
And if it comes out on Game Pass as well as
it is going to be on Game Pass.
So you'll be covered then.
I'll be completely covered. Yeah, exactly. But I'll probably spend money to buy a hard drive that I can connect and put it on because I do not want Games for Windows or whatever it's called now, and I'm not sure what it is, but I do not want that to screw up my file system or whatever it is on my PC.
Just have a separate drive for it.
Yeah, completely separate drive USB'd into the machine that will not affect anything else. And it will be strictly used to run that game, to have that or any of the other titles that I want from Microsoft Games for Windows or whatever it is. So yeah,
like you said, just see Games for Windows. It's Games for Windows.
Yeah, it's a Play Anywhere title. This is something they did way back when I think it was Gears 5 launched, and a couple of others. They came up with this Games Anywhere type thing where it's like, hey, if you own this on Xbox, then you also have it on PC if you go through their storefront, not Steam or anybody else.
Play Anywhere games.
Yeah, that's what they are. And it turns out Starfield's one of those, so that's great. It was the one I was waiting to find out about. Everybody wasn't sure that it was going to happen because no other Bethesda game was doing this. Fallout 76, as we found out, does not share your save across platforms, so wherever you're playing it. Now, that may change. They may come up with a way to do that, but currently it didn't, and no other game had. So I was really thinking, well, I'll probably pick it up on Steam, and that's where I'll play it. Because I really, really would. But now that I can play them both, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I really wish, though, and if there is a way that I can have it on Steam where my profile and everything can still cross-save. You know what I'm saying? If I can do that, I may consider just buying it on Steam. And that way I can play it on my console through Game Pass, and then I can play it on Steam without worrying about it corrupting my hard drive. So I don't know. There's options. Getting a hard drive to play all those games that I have on Game Pass on PC, probably the better way to go in that regard. Because I'm going to spend less money. because I'll already have Game Pass. So that may be what I do. So I'm literally on the air. My thoughts are rolling out of my mouth as I'm thinking them as to how I'm going to do this.
And that may change down the road considering whatever else you find out.
Possibly. I don't know. You know, I hear every now and again that there's updates to Games for Windows. And I always check threads and things like that to see if, hey, did this fix our problem? And there was like, no, it didn't. No, this is not the one that fixes our problems. So, yeah. Anyway, Chris, thank you for calling in, buddy. And we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah. Me and Mason finally beat the mainline story of Diablo 4. So now we got back into the bigger grind that, with the next difficulty in the game world that we can get to after beating the game. So now it unlocks a whole lot more grinding and this and that and just all kind of different things.
Yeah, there was a setting in Max Payne 3 when I went to, I don't remember what. I think I clicked on new story or something. There was something called grind. I don't know what that is. I didn't go much further than the main menu of the screen. I just wanted to see if I had save states, which I didn't. But there was something called grind, so I'm curious as to what that is. I don't know. I'm not big on grind because I do that all the time with Destiny, and I don't want to grind. So yeah. Anyway, Chris, we gotta run, man.
All right, see y'all later.
See you, man.
Take care.
Bye bye.
All right, bye.
Yeah, so we do. Yeah, we got a little bit of time here, but yeah, we're going to come up and talk about. I watched some Evo this morning from last night. Those Mortal Kombat finales were nice. That was really, really, especially the grand finale reset thing that happened with Mortal Kombat 11. That was really good. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But we're definitely going to talk. You went to Evo once, right?
Yeah, in 2015.
Did you compete at all, or you just went?
Oh, well, I competed in the.
I thought
Street
you did.
In the Street Fighter. In the Street Fighter tournament. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had. But I couldn't remember if you did. I knew you went, but I couldn't remember if you actually did any competition or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than what's on the main floor. I mean, you got side tournaments here and there. And
oh, yeah, so, totally. Yeah.
So, it was a bunch of opportunities to get in there and play. I mean, look, you're spending X amount to sign up. May as well get in there and play a tournament. I mean, I didn't go through TSA security and have to explain to the folks what a fight stick is.
What a fighter stick is, yeah, I know.
To not use it.
Which, having the name fight stick is not really the best to tell airport security, this is my fight stick.
Well, a controller might not be good either.
They know what it is. They can look at it and plainly tell that what you have.
They
there.
Looked at that thing and saw electronic device that I'm not familiar with. That's all I've realized.
Oh, that's true. Some of them look quite.
This thing has 12 buttons.
Intimidating,
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing has 12 buttons on it and this lever. So what is this?
Yeah. Jumping back for a moment to Starfield, I've got the article here. It looks like Starfield will be taking advantage of the Xbox Play Anywhere feature. Through this, owners of Starfield will be able to swap between Xbox and PC without having to buy copies of the game for both systems. This update was noticed by the Starfield Beyond Twitter account, or X account, a profile that chronicles all things related to Starfield. So let's see. For those who don't know, Play Anywhere lets you own a game on Xbox and Windows-based PCs at no additional cost. This also means your saves will carry over between systems, so you could literally start playing on one and smoothly transition to the other without any fuss. With Starfield offering the Xbox Play Anywhere feature, it pretty much means you can have two copies of the game with one purchase. Maybe not everyone will benefit from being able to switch playing Skyrim in space between console and PC, but it's a little neat bonus if you're into that sort of thing. I think it's safe to say we're pretty much ready for Starfield. Page outline seems like all. Yeah, this doesn't clarify that maybe, you know, on Steam it would work, but that's my understanding, is that you would need to buy it on the Microsoft stuff. Now, if I find out otherwise, I'll let you know. But from my understanding, I can't buy the game on Xbox and then get some kind of download code for it on Steam.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Doesn't work. And so I don't think I can. It would be great if I could, but I don't think that I can. Let's see, what else? Yeah, there's not a lot of news. Again, not much. So we'll cover what we can coming up in this next hour here. But for now, here's another game from Telltale Games, who kind of went away, but then they came back again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to The Wolf Among Us and replay that.
Mm-hmm.
Been a while for Wolf Among Us 2 when that releases. Their latest is a game based on the series is based on books, but The Expanse, that I think was on Sci-Fi at one point, and now it's on Amazon Prime. They bought the rights, and they made a couple of more seasons for it, I believe, two mm-hmm. seasons or so. Anyway, I've heard really good things about The Expanse, and there's a lot of good word about the Telltale series based on it, called The Expanse.
Okay.
Telltale series, whatever it is. A lot of good reviews on that. So this is music from that game, The Expanse. It's called The Breach Pod. We will be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Back in to in-game chat. That is a real busy tune there, isn't it? That music comes from Double Dragon. Is it Gaiden?
Yep.
Rise of the Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a new game or not. I think it's new.
Yeah, it's new.
Recent? Yeah, that's what I thought. A little arcade brawler there. All right, let's go to the phones, talk to Biloxi Gambler. Hello.
Hey, y'all covered so many things. I gotta catch up.
Okay.
We got Chris. There's more chapters. Even though you filled out the character, there'll be more chapters in Road 96. I keep finding new chapters. I've played through it, I don't know, 7 times now. There's always a new chapter.
And there's the prequel stuff too, right?
Did you pick that up? Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, didn't mean to rush you.
I'm going to get to that here, but let me tell you, on the controller, RJ, what I used to travel. I lived on the road for 8 years. I was on airplanes all the time, off and on. And I carried, I would carry a handgun. So what I would do is I would take it apart. Part of it goes in, the bullets go in one box. The other one goes in another little box. I take it to FedEx, FedEx is who I used. And then mail it to the hotel where I was going to land, and then I could put it back together. Because because I'm not going to put it in my luggage, even though I've got permits and all that junk. But you're not going to carry it on you, mm-mm, unless you're a federal agent. And then you're required to. I know a guy that's a federal agent, and when he went to Disney World, he has to go through a separate thing from his family, and they seat him on the plane where they want him sat. He can't sit with his family.
No.
They place them around ever since 9/11. But anyway, so I just mail my stuff to where, I call it mail, but it's FedEx. It's not the mail. But I just mail it and just put machine parts on it. But anyway, you could do that with your controller. That would solve you some stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, on the credits, I love reading credits. I think the credits on that Rogue One, it had like the winning number for that $1.5 billion. You should have read it. You know, there was a terms of agreement or whatever, you know, that little fine print.
Terms and conditions, yes.
Yeah.
And nobody reads it.
Nope.
And I saw this. It's been a few years ago. Somebody read it, and it was embedded in the fine print that if you contacted them with, you know, at this email address,
right, we'll give you yeah.
And they got like $10,000 or something.
Yeah. If you've read all of this, we'll give you it. Yes, because it was so much to read, and it was in the fine print, and I think it put them into a drawing. I don't think it was like, you know, you read this, you win this.
Like first come, first serve.
I think it was like, if you do this, you get put into a drawing, and then they drew. But there was very few people who were in that drawing.
Yeah.
I bet so.
So your odds were really good.
I mean, I saw something like that with, there was an old game on the Genesis years back called Arrow the Acrobat. And they had a advertisement in EGM. And it had this long text.
Electronic Gaming Monthly, by the way.
Yeah, it had this long text of dialogue in there, right? That it was in little print.
Yeah.
And they figured no one was going to read the thing. And I read the thing, and there was an offer in there about if you send this self-addressed stamped envelope to this address, you get a free copy of the game if you've read the thing, right? But I wasn't interested
in the game.
So I just didn't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Flipped the page, went on the next thing, went to something else. But yeah, they do little things like that. But yeah, it's amazing, Biloxi. Yeah, the little things that you will not notice because TLDR.
Yeah, too long, didn't read.
Yeah, exactly. They're not willing to sit through all that stuff, and they can sneak anything in there.
But honestly, the terms and conditions are it's just a bunch of legal crap to read
over. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it gets tedious. Yeah.
But what I do enjoy about the credits, particularly on your larger games like Red Dead Redemption, I read those. Now, I didn't read every word, but it was interesting to see they have a USA team, Canadian team, a UK team, a Poland team, an Australian team, a Tokyo team, a Hong Kong team. I'm like, how many people are working on this game?
A lot.
Tons of people.
A lot.
Especially with the localization and languages set that they got to do on each game. Yeah.
When you're talking about your AAA titles, there are a lot of people who work on those
games. It's literal movie budget type
thing. Yeah, it's a massive amount of people. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I got this whole game for like $79, you know, the first run of it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and all these people get paid out of the $79. Man, what a bargain that is.
Right? Yeah, I know. They all do, but I mean, that's, as far as I know, there's no union in games right now.
No, they talked about years back how people would the ridiculous amount of hours that gaming programmers and art designers
there's two things that I'm familiar with, I know of, that really need to unionize, and I would say that is video game developers or people that work on those sort of things, mm-hmm. and you may laugh, but professional wrestlers. They need to badly. They need to form.
Well, I'm the man for them. I was a union representative for 18 years.
Oh wow,
but,
man!
But I enjoy reading the credits because it's just interesting.
Hey, the people that put the time and effort, all those people are very appreciative that you sat through those credits.
But a lot of the names I couldn't pronounce or understand because they're different. Like, you know, they're from different countries. They have a different. I don't know how to pronounce some of them.
Right. Yeah.
Like Indian names where they got a lot of syllables, kind of all put together.
Yeah.
But on Road 96.
Yeah.
I was holding my breath during the beginning of the show. I was hoping, RJ, please don't say you played, because he was going to play the prequel first. Mm. Please don't say you played Road 96 Mile Zero. Please don't say. I last Saturday after the show, I download, you know, Road 96 Mile Zero, because I found out about it. I didn't even know about it except through your show.
Yeah.
And I downloaded it. And I'm telling you, within an hour, I just yelled out, "No! RJ, don't play this game!"
Really? Is it spoilery or something?
You can... What now?
Is it... Why should he not play it?
It has nothing to do with Road 96. Chris, Road 96 Mile Zero, he'll be able to back me up on this. What Road 96 Mile Zero is... Oh, you were talking about all those new games we got this year?
Yeah.
Well, that's because we had COVID for 2 years, so everybody just stayed home and did coding, because they work from home. But anyway, Road 96, they had this stupid futuristic skateboard game that is not based on any kind of physics or anything. And it's just like psychedelic and
oh, I mean, wow. Okay.
It looks cool. If you're into that, but I'm not. It's basically a reflex game on the keyboard, and I'm not into reflex games on the keyboard. I'm into, you know, narrative, story driven, you know, or mysteries or something like that.
Yeah, I'm reading the description here. Mile Zero is a story driven prequel with some surreal rhythm action, which is very strange because I don't remember having rhythm action playing Road 96 itself.
No.
It's in there for no reason. It's in there for absolutely no reason. You get through, whether you want to call it a chapter or a mission.
Right.
You get through that, and then all of a sudden you're on a skateboard or roller skates with some chick, and y'all are racing through this weirdness like an arcade game and stuff, and you get 5 tries, and then it says try again or continue story. So I just let it go, and then 5 times I continue story every time. I don't want to play a skateboard game, and there is none of that in the original Road 96.
No,
but they had this code laying around, and they said, "Okay, maybe we can sell it if we put Road 96 name on it."
That's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Now, I'm let down by that. I got a good bargain on Road 96, and I definitely got my money's worth out of that. And then, of course, I'm going to pay the $12 on PlayStation 4 for the Road 96 Mile Zero. And I went, this is junk. this is Mile Zero. You're right. It's zero. That's the way I'd rate it. It is a zero. You got your money back out of me that I got off of you for that great game, Road 96. and I'm at the last, all I need is one more code. I'm at the very end of the game, and I need one more code to go in one more place, and I'm deleting it off the console. This game is junk. It's done.
All right, fair man.
Enough. Fair enough.
That's great.
So that's my review of Road 96 Mile Zero. RJ, if yeah. you're going to play it, play Road 96 first, or otherwise you're going to think...
Yeah,
you know,
don't get a bad impression of, people, of that.
People, yeah. You really need to play it first because of some of the characters you already know from the Road 96. You see some of those characters again, but only just for a minute or two. And then all of a sudden you're back on a stupid skateboard, and it's just how fast you can push the buttons. Okay. So it's crazy. I hate it. It's awful. Because if you play it first, you're going to think, I think Biloxi Gambler drinks or something. This game's neat. But anyway, all right. So all right, I got man. That out.
Right.
But thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Ladies and gentlemen, an in-game chat exclusive.
No, that's great to have a nice little review of, and that's good. That's good that he says that because we were curious about the prequel on that.
Yeah,
and
rhythm stuff. Okay, nothing from the description that Chris and Biloxi gave us about the original Road 96
is in there really
rhythm thing or whatever.
The best part about that is the fact that number one, they made it a prequel instead of a sequel, so you don't feel like, oh, I need to continue the story. It's something from previous. Mm-hmm. That means you don't need to play it. Mm-hmm. It's also seemingly like, here's some things we had ideas for. Mm-hmm. We didn't flesh them out, but we did finish them. Polish them up, and now we put them in this little DLC here.
Yeah,
that is take it or leave it type of thing. It doesn't really. It is not necessary to have played that in order to get any more enjoyment or any more information or really anything out of the main Road 96 game. Mm-hmm. So you go.
So yeah, that solidified it. I'll do the original.
That easily solidified it, probably for a lot of people. Man, that's great.
Play the original first.
Sometimes that happens. Sometimes DLC will be released that is, it's a lot like what Biloxi said. They have this extra stuff, and well, what can we do with it? Well, we can package it and put it out there and make some money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. So there you go. But it has nothing to do, like maybe that was a aspect of the game that they had in the main game, but they took it out because it just didn't seem to flow.
Mm-hmm.
But here they have this mechanic that they were thinking about using, so they put it in the DLC.
Yeah, there you go. The rest is history.
Possibly.
Yeah, because I did by the bundle.
I don't develop games, so I have no idea.
Because I did right. by the bundle, so yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, that's You've fine. Got it. So.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of your... union thing with gaming, I would advise people to, if they're curious about that, just look up anything about video game crunch, development crunch.
Crunch is horrible.
That's a term they use for the last few days and weeks of development. That's when all the time gets like you get in that crunch of development time, trying to crunch a whole bunch of time. In a very small window, and it takes a toll on people.
It's a draining thing. They pull. I don't know the hours. 12-hour days. They sleep at the office because they are too exhausted to drive home.
Yeah, I looked at
they got to be back within ever how many hours to start again. Yeah. It is a horrible environment.
Yeah, it's like I've seen the background of the making of I want to say. One of the Mortal Kombat games, and it started at like 9 a.m., and then the things ended at midnight.
Yeah.
So the long multiple double-digit hour days. It's like doing a close-to-open shift.
Yeah.
At a
workplace. I don't doubt that some companies go 24 hours a day with, mm-hmm. Throwing, like, okay, you go home, but we got to bring somebody in to replace you to start working, here. And then you get your rest, come back in. And I mean, just a constant around-the-clock thing, which is one of the things that unions will be able to do is to I think that would be the first thing on the table is no crunch. Mm-hmm. I know Cyberpunk, well, I say Cyberpunk, CD Projekt Red, who developed Cyberpunk, I know they got into a lot of heat for the amount of crunch they put on their developers. Last of Us is another one that took some heat for the crunch that they did. A lot of them like to say, hey, we're a no-crunch environment, but eventually the crunch creeps in. It gets there. And I don't put it necessarily on the development houses as much as I do the publishers.
Yeah, because they're pushing the
Naughty Dog would not do this to their employees, but Sony would require this of Naughty Dog to do it.
They're pushing a deadline on them. Yeah, we want this released by this date.
Yeah.
So,
whereas CD Projekt Red is self-published. This is not a game that was published by anybody else, so they had the ability to hold off on this, and they delayed the game plenty of times, but they were still putting in crunch in order to get there. And
because they put so many delays on the thing.
Yeah, and they really didn't have to do that. In fact, obviously, as we saw when the game released, they should have taken some extra time.
Yeah,
To get that thing.
Or No Man's Sky. Was that the situation with No Man's Sky the first time around?
I don't know about crunch in No Man's Sky. I'm not sure. Okay. No Man's Sky was just a thing where the lead developer was out there doing interviews talking about all these things the game can do, and it couldn't do any of those things. Mm-hmm. It eventually got to the point where it could do those things, but at launch it couldn't.
Yeah.
And that was one of the main problems with it, is that they promised and they overpromised and underdelivered. Now, they took a whole lot of flack for that, and they spent the rest of ever how many years, you know, fighting against that, or building their goodwill back up, basically. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job at it. Yeah. Did a very good job at it. I think they've completely turned that around.
Yeah. I guess they just went the lesser two evils.
But I don't know if they had crunch. Almost every single high-profile game goes through crunch.
They're going to have crunch. So I'm just thinking, does the lesser two evils, do we release an unfinished game, or do we just put another delay out there? And they chose to go with put it out there early and take the blowback and go from there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Let's see. What else? We're gonna go into the news, I guess, a little bit here that we've got. We talked about you only need one copy of Starfield. What else do we have? Might be getting a new Nintendo Switch next year. This article comes from Kotaku that says... sources aware of Nintendo's next-gen console reportedly told another news outlet that it would be portable, like the Switch, but most details are still under wraps. But they are planning to release the follow-up to the Switch in the second half of 2024. Earlier this summer, when investors asked if the Switch, which came out in 2017, was approaching its end of life, the president of Nintendo focused on the longevity of its software instead of suggesting it would ever be replaced by a different console. His response to that question was, "Never before in hardware has software sold at such a pace. Like last year's Pokemon Scarlet and Violet and this year's Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Nintendo Switch titles sold more than 10 million units in the first 3 days of their release." The Switch install base has slowed its growth over the past 12 months. The hardware has also struggled to keep up with some of the big new releases like Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, though Tears of the Kingdom, the Zelda sequel, showed the current Switch can still deliver a blockbuster with beautiful visuals and good performance. The suggested release window lines up with a report from earlier this year pointing to a similar timeline based on Nintendo's current negotiations with part suppliers. Nintendo previously said during a May earnings call that the company wasn't planning any significant new hardware refreshes before the end of fiscal year 2023 into 2024. But based on details given, the round of next-gen Nintendo rumors seems pretty different from what fans have been anticipating up until now. There was that point when we thought we were getting a 4K Switch. Turned out just getting an OLED screen Switch. Still not 4K, so we'll see about that. They're due at this point for a new piece of hardware. But given the success of the Switch, I don't see them straying too far from that design.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a Wii U here, you know? In other words, the Wii was massively successful, right?
Yeah.
So when you're going to release another console, you know, release the Wii 2, or like, you've got to keep that momentum going. Although I think at the time that they were going to release the next console, the momentum of the Wii had honestly come down. The whole thing about, you know, Wii bowling and all these things that you do, that was huge at the beginning. It was huge for a good while there. But by the time the next system was coming out, I think that had sort of died off. Mm-hmm. That momentum had died. Motion controls had started to kind of die off as well. Mm-hmm. The way the whole Wii was supposed to be, you know, this motion control thing all the way through, and it worked for some games, but after a while, the gimmick wore off.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't have motion control or a predominant motion control on the Switch. Mm-hmm. The Wii U kept it. It's the Wii, so you still got the motion controls, but now it's also portable on this thing. Well, they figured it out with the Switch, obviously, and the Switch has done much better than the Wii U ever did, and I really think whatever they come up with design, it'll just be an improvement upon this. I don't think it's going to stray too far from the initial design of this thing, of what they have now. I could be completely wrong on that, and probably am. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. When we talk about the other guys, Sony and Microsoft, releasing a new console, we know what we know and what we care about is I rarely care about how the form factor, because it is a machine that sits on a shelf.
Yeah, what's your library look like?
You know, I don't care about the form factor. What I care about, the guts inside of it, like what are you using for your graphics processor and all these other things? What's the nuts and bolts and guts of your system to know, you know, how well it performs and that sort of thing? Half the time, these are moot points because they're pretty much on level with performance when you're talking about which one on paper is better than the other one, that sort of thing. I'm not looking for which one's better. I am just curious as to, okay, what do they got inside of it? What's it running as far as, you know, a processor? Is it AMD? Is it NVIDIA?
Yeah.
What's inside of it?
Yeah, in my, like I said, in my case, what's your library looking like? That's what I'm really caring about.
Yeah, I totally get that.
See, I expect you to have good equipment in that thing. I'm expecting it at this point. Look, we're at the point where your graphics better be good.
Oh no no no!
Yeah, that's what
I'm more interested in the specifics.
I know
the details of those. Uh-huh. We all expect that to happen. That's something that's never not happened. But I'm interested in the details of what is actually in there and powering it. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the form factor. Nintendo's a little bit different. I kind of do care about the form factor because they keep coming up with new ways to. You know, we had the GameCube, which was like this portable tiny thing with a handle, form factor-wise. Then the Wii comes out. The gimmick is the motion control and the way it's also this very small thing. The Wii U. Oh, look, it can be portable now. You have the main console itself, and then you have this controller that's massive, but it also has a screen on it. Then you have the Switch, a portable as well as a console-type thing that can... Mm-hmm. That can dock and do all these other things. So it is in that sense. Again, I usually don't care about the way it's built. I care about what's inside of it. Mm-hmm. With the Switch, yeah, I kind of care about what's inside of it so long as it's better than the other one. There's no way I'm going to compare it to the Microsoft or Sony's machine.
Right.
And again, this is also something we always do. I compare Microsoft's machine to Sony's machine, but never to Nintendo's. The comparison Nintendo gets is to the previous Nintendo.
What type of innovations have you done since the last time around?
What is new inside of it? So you've got 4K now. You've got an OLED screen. You've got, you know, touch controls. What else is it? Is the screen bigger? If it's not bigger, does it take up more space on, you know, did they... What's the word? Did they thin the bezel, I guess you could say, so you could get more screen space? So there's a lot of different things that Nintendo sits outside of the way that I look at other consoles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nintendo sits on the... They always seem to have done that. there was a time where Nintendo was in the running as far as comparisons to Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony. I think when the Wii released, likely, is when they broke away from that. And now they're compared within themselves. They are not in any kind of a running against Sony and Microsoft. They're separate to me. That may not be the case for everybody else, but to me, they kind of stand alone and compared to themselves.
I guess the closest one would be that, what's that thing? That Steam Deck.
Steam Deck? Yeah.
Yeah, and what's the other one from?
The Rogue Ally?
Yeah. Portable. The portability. Yeah. Anything that has portability, that's what they're going to be compared to.
Yeah, I mean,
Switch, that's the innovative factor of the Switch. The Switch is the portable factor that the Microsoft and Sony's consoles don't have. So,
AC Wright says, when I was a console gamer, I went for the largest library. Nintendo was never in the running. The reason I stuck with... I never bought a Wii U. I bought a Wii U used long after it had done whatever because there were modding possibilities with it.
Yeah.
And I actually started to go down that path but never finished. But the reason I kept coming back to the Nintendo, landscape was the design. Now, the GameCube was not that case. The GameCube was because of Eternal Darkness, was because of games that were being released exclusively on there. Eternal Darkness, Mario Sunshine, which is weird because I thought that would be great and I really didn't like it, but yeah.
I was kind of looking into it for the remake of Resident Evil.
See, Resident Evil was the other reason, and Rogue Squadron from Star Wars, which was really, really cool at that time to play that. So, I mean, that's what got me into the GameCube. The Wii sold itself based on those motion controls. They go, oh, I got to experience this. Skip the Wii U, right? Because I didn't do anything with the Wii. GameCube I had a really good library with. The Wii, very small library. Very, very small library. The Wii U, never bought. And then after that, it was the Switch. And the Switch was basically like, oh, wow, that's cool. It's portable and it's, yeah, I'm going to get this. You know, even though I said I wasn't. I eventually ended up getting it.
Yep.
So on launch day. So I suppose it's kind of a mixture of the gimmick and the games that pulled me into Nintendo. And I think I'll be there for whatever the next Switch does, whatever the next thing Nintendo does. I'll likely be there. It'll be interesting to see what they do. This will be the first... This will be the first follow-up, obviously, after the course correction that the Switch did off the Wii U. Wii U did not sell great. The Switch sold phenomenally well.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we've been here before. The Wii did fantastic, and then we released the Wii U, and it didn't work. We released the Switch. It did fantastic. Let's not follow tradition.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Do you improve upon the Switch, or do you design something completely different?
I want to say, look back what happened between the Wii and the
right.
Wii U, and you
exactly.
see the mistakes you made there, and make sure you don't make them with the Switch.
But it'll
adjust for the times.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting to see how that shapes out, and I'm very, very, I'm very interested to see what they decide to do with that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the final little segment here. We've got music here from Grand Emprise. Which I know sounds weird. It feel like it should be Empires, and they misspelled something. But Grand Emprise, I guess. Is it Empires? And maybe I misspelled it? It can't be. I'm looking this up now. Nope, it's Emprise. Okay. This is Egyptian era. I don't know. It's a time travel based defense thing or something. I don't know. I needed music and found a game. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Themesia? Themesia? Track is called God of the Fools.
Thanks, Al. Foolish.
Oh, in the break, apparently something, I guess it was revealed at Evo, probably, Fatal Fury.
Yeah, Fatal Fury City of the Wolves announced.
There's a quick little teaser that was shown.
Yeah.
Like 30 seconds, 30 second teaser.
People have been clamoring for a sequel to Mark of the Wolves, released back in the day. It was had a pretty good fan following, so I'm sure they're happy right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to watch the Mortal Kombat 11 grand finales from last night. I watched them this morning. Mm-hmm. It was mirror match between Fujin. Is that the character's name?
Yeah.
Fujin. Mm-hmm. It was a mirror match there, which was interesting because. So I went to their Twitch account and saw that they had I don't know how many hours of that one recording. I was scrolling through that to find some of the fights and landed on a Mortal Kombat fight earlier. In the tournament, and it was Ninja Killer, and I can't remember the other guy. May have been Nicholas. Yeah, it may have been him as well. This was before the finale. I don't even remember what round this was in the tournament itself, but it was Fujin again, mirror match between the two of them.
Two Fujin players.
Which was fantastic to see. So then I was reading some forums, and people were talking about, I watched the finale last night. That was really cool to see. So I scrolled through, and I found the grand finale reset, and I watched all of that. It was wonderful, because almost every single fight. So in other words, when you're playing Mortal Kombat, it is best of three. Whoever wins two is the winner, but it's best of three. In the grand finales, it's also best of three, though, right? But it's per game.
Mm-hmm. They have a...
Or is it five?
Best of five. Usually best of five. But it's but basically, it's a reset that happened.
Right.
As we talked about earlier, double elimination tournament, the winner's side has not lost a match yet. Loser's side has lost one. You lose two, you're out.
Right.
So the reset happens when the best in the winner's bracket gets the best in the loser's bracket, and the loser's best in the loser's bracket beats the winner in the winner's bracket and gives that winner his or her first loss.
Right.
So now the bracket is reset because you both are now sitting at one loss.
Right.
Yeah.
So this comes down to both of them having lost once.
Yeah.
And now this is it. So then the first game they play, one of them wins a round, the other guy wins a round, and it comes down to whoever wins that last round. I can't remember who won the first match there, but it was, it was one guy. Let's say it was Nicholas. The second match, one round is won by one guy, the other round is won by the other guy. It comes down to the final round, the other guy wins. So now it's set again, two and two.
It's a bunch of back and forth, basically.
It is. It comes down to the very last match. And not only that, again, it goes into the back and forth. One of them wins, the other guy wins the next round. So not only does it go down to the very last game, it comes down to the very last match, the very last set. I mean, the very last thing. And it was just exciting to see. It even came down to the fact that their health bars were almost identical towards the end.
Yeah.
I mean, the match didn't end on any sort of...
It wasn't a blowout victory.
It was a struggle all the way through.
The last match I'm looking at, it was basically, it got to the point where Nicholas was at like 189 health points and Ninja Killer was at 108.
Yeah.
So the long distance game started coming into effect, like trying to take each other out from distance.
From a full
distance,
screen, yeah.
So trying to projectile war your way out of the thing. And then... Ninja Kill switched it up.
Mm-hmm.
He took it from long range to close range and got in and did some stuff, and there you go. He took the win and got it off a reset.
I'm telling you, it was exciting. You don't... Wendy was there watching as well, as she was falling asleep. But she was... It's one of those things where it's like, this would have been great had they not been a mirror match, especially to somebody... who doesn't normally watch these.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing in a mirror match is just going to be confusing to anybody watching it. So I kind of wish it was two different people. But my point saying in this is if you like competition of any kind, this is really good to watch. I didn't have a dog in the fight for any of these two players. I was just looking for good competition, and that's what I got.
Yep.
And so that's, in fact, that's the only reason I watch these. I don't know the players involved. You know them probably better than I do. But I don't,
Ninja Killer is well known in the red case circles, man. He's very well known.
Very, very few names are known to me in the fighting genre there, as far as people who actually do play them. But I it doesn't bother me, though. I'm not here. Usually you think of when you're watching a competition, you're pulling for your favorite team, your favorite whatever. In this, I don't necessarily have a favorite of anything. I'm just here to watch the competition and to not get blowout matches like you were talking about. Those exist, and that's fine. But when you get a good one like this, it's so entertaining.
Yeah, any competition. It doesn't have to be video games. I mean, any sporting event you go to, you're not interested in a blowout. I mean,
I never am.
When you, look, how many times have you seen a blowout and you're already thinking of changing the channel, going to something else?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you like this.
We talk about it all the time, especially when it gets around to the college football stuff, which is coming up, and we talk about, you know, matches coming up and who's going up against who and that sort of thing. At the start of your college football season, nobody cares about the games. Why? Because they're shutouts, they're blowouts. You might get some surprise upsets, yes, but for the most part, you're getting these just completely lopsided scores. Those are no fun. You're happy because your team's winning. That's great, and I know that, but it's not really an entertaining game to watch. And same thing with fighting games. It's not an entertaining thing to watch when it is a blowout and there is no competition. It's always fun to have the competition. So anyway, that's just my Evo thing. What do we have today? What's on the thing for today?
We saw some
Street Fighters tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, that's the main event is Street Fighter. We just saw the had some King of Fighters 15 go on. I think that's ended. They're going to do Grand Blue Fantasy Versus finals coming up soon. So they got that going on.
Okay.
So Street Fighter is going to be the big one. That's going to be the main event, so they're going to save that for last.
Anyway, to jump into the news while we have 10 minutes left, City Skylines 2 coming out in October is 5 times bigger than the original, which is fantastic. I am looking forward to playing that and enjoying that. City Skylines, great. My hat's off to their marketing team. I feel like this game has probably been ready for the last year, but they've spent the time between then making these promotional videos. Every single week, they have released a new video about City Skylines 2, talking about all the different features. This game does not come out until October, but I am telling you, every week a new video is released giving us new information about how the sequel is going to play and how it's different from the first. And it is well produced, it's well narrated, it's well shown off. Not only that, so they release a video explaining this with a voiceover and everything. Then, usually the next day or the day following, they release a developer commentary. So this week was about map size. So they tell you all of this stuff. Then the next day, there's a video released where a developer goes through and really gives you more detail about the subject that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic. It's really, really great. They're going to continue to do this all the way up until release. So I feel like that game's been ready for a while. They just wanted to market it better, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's not something they really needed to do, but it's amazing, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Assassin's Creed Mirage is 3 times shorter than Valhalla. This goes back to their wanting to slim down the Assassin's Creed experience, stop with the open worldness of it, and kind of keep it in a more enclosed space type of thing.
So strictly story, and not having long delays in between things that let you experience the story?
Yeah, not a lot of... maybe a lot... It feels more like we're going back to Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
Before we jumped into... Maybe even Black Flag, but before we jumped into what Odyssey was, what Origins was, what Valhalla is, which is this very big, sprawling area that has... story elements, but all a bunch of side tasks and things that you can do.
Didn't you have side tasks in the original or not?
Not as many as you do with this open world.
Okay.
There were some optional things. There were optional collectibles.
So it wasn't along the lines of, say, a Fallout 4 or Fallout New Vegas.
Right.
Not that level of a main story and
not,
side missions.
In the earlier Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
When you jumped into like Black Flag, when you jumped into Syndicate,
mm-hmm.
your map was smaller than what we have on the games that we have now,
mm-hmm.
but we're still populated with like tons to do that weren't necessary. You could do them because it's going to increase your level. It's going to do all these other things to help you along. You didn't necessarily have to do them. It's also, you know, involved the story and that sort of thing. So,
okay.
But you didn't have to do them if you didn't want to. But I'm looking forward to going back to the more focused Assassin's Creed. Okay. I really, really am.
So just decrease the size, but increase the focus on what you need to do. Okay.
Hasbro wants the old Transformers games to return, but Activision says they can't find them. according to the toy company behind the popular robot franchise, Activision has apparently lost the games and doesn't know where they're stored. Released in June of 2010, War for Cybertron was a well-received third-person shooter that got an equally great sequel called Fall of Cybertron in 2012. I will tell you now, both of them were great. What made the first two games so memorable and beloved is that they told their own stories about the origins of popular characters like Megatron, Optimus Prime, while featuring combat that included the ability to transform into different vehicles. Sadly, in 2018, all these Activision-published Transformers games were yanked from digital stores, making them hard to acquire and play. In 2023, Hasbro now wants that to change, suggesting the games would make a perfect fit for Xbox Game Pass once Activision eventually finds them.
Never got a physical release?
They did, yeah.
Okay.
But that's... They can't... They need the code. That's the problem.
No.
Yes, it got a physical release. Yes, there are people who have physical copies of the game on disc or whatever, but they don't have...
Can't retro.
They don't have the code for it. I'm not sure exactly how that works. I'm not a game developer.
Yeah, I mean...
Because I know the idea is, well, then just go get a copy off shelf.
Get the game itself and do whatever you
but
do.
But apparently that's not how it works.
Okay, it's not how it works. Okay.
Well, I would think that they would have done that, right?
Should have done that.
Why? Oh, wait a second. Hang on. Here's an update. 24 hours after the original publication of the story, Activision's CCO of Corporate Affairs tweeted that the publisher has always had the code and that it was never lost. Oh, wait a second. These headlines are wrong. We have the code. It's not lost and never was. Hang on a second. Wow. It said update in the headline, but this was not...
The update.
This is not what I was expecting here.
Oh, okay.
This is all wrong. So, on August 1st, Stephen Totillo from Axios got a response from Activision pointing him toward a comment from Hasbro. To clarify... Comments that suggest Transformers games have been lost were made in error. We apologize to Activision and regret any confusion, as they have been great partners and we look forward to future opportunities to work together. Well, this seems to clarify matters, says the article. There's still some questions. Activision has yet to confirm if it actually knows where the source code for the game is specifically located. I would love to know why Activision waited so long to comment and why Hasbro claimed to not have access to key assets when developing its toys based on the games. It's also strange that Hasbro, which says it wants to put these games on Game Pass, hasn't done so for years now. If the games aren't lost, give them to Hasbro. That's interesting. Okay. Well, that whole article was... Never mind then. Yeah.
Interesting, though.
We went through the whole thing only to find out that we didn't have to go through the whole thing at all. What else? Baldur's Gate 3 is just doing massive. Record, the second biggest launch on Steam this year. It's not only currently Steam's top-selling game, it's also ranked near the top of the platform's most played games. The concurrent player count on Steam peaked at a massive 472,000 players. I'm telling you, my entire friends list, it's nothing but...
Is that a record?
Baldur's Gate 3, Baldur's Gate 3, Baldur's Gate 3. I don't know. I figure that's enough to make it effectively Steam... That's enough to make it effectively Steam's most played game if you don't count Counter-Strike Global Offensive or Dota 2. Those are two games that always occupy the top two slots. Yeah. I'm hearing fantastic things about Baldur's Gate 3. I will probably watch some review videos just to get an idea of the gameplay. I know it's the third in a series, but my memory is shot as to what I can remember the first or the second playing like. Much less looking like, I'm not sure. So I will definitely look into that. We're about done, my friend. I want to thank everybody that called in, Biloxi Gambler and Chris. Thank you so much. And I guess that's it. Going to watch some Evo, going to play some games, and be right back here next weekend as well. Hey, thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and everybody who have been listening on the stream and on the radio. We appreciate it. Everybody who gets our show every week from iTunes, we appreciate that as well. Join us on YouTube. Subscribe there, our iTunes, and wherever else you can find this show when we put it up for podcasts. Subscribe to us. Join our Discord. Join our Twitch. All that fun stuff. And thank you, everybody, who showed up into the chat there for the stream. Z-Keys, Revo, Vimercy, Michael, Lethal Migraine, Kata, Evans, Drunk Degenerates, Drapsnat, Deathful, Commander Root, Bama Brian, 01 Ella in there as well. Thank you guys so much. Here is music from Disney's Illusion Island. This is called Peahen? Anyway, Peahen. Yeah.
Yeah.
See you next Saturday.